Governor Inslee! Gov! Wake up!
What? Is it even noon yet? We've got the best weed. It smells like Seattle Spirit.
Where'd all my Inslee sounds go? Jay?
I don't make stuff up. I don't have phony math.
Yeah? Well, are you transparent?
Okay. Probably the most transparent administration in our state's history, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah? Any ideas on what we should do in the schools?
We're getting these absurd ideas that what we want is our first graders to have a Glock on their hip.
How come you haven't done anything to fix Western State Hospital?
Well, I'm a doodler.
Oh, okay. I guess you are. In the studio with me, the guy we should have had as governor, Bill Bryant.
How you doing, Todd?
Good, man. Good to have you back.
It's fun to be back.
Yep. And I'm noticing something, though. I'm seeing that's fancy clothes. You got fancy. Last time in here, you were dressed like a real guy. Now you're in fancy clothes.
I got a dinner tonight, so I'm wearing fancy clothes.
Okay. So we're not making news today.
No, we're not making any news.
We're just talking. So, no, we're not announcing the campaign. Is that next time you come in?
I have no idea what's going to happen.
All right. That's a good answer.
No, it's actually has the extra advantage of being the truth.
So, during the campaign, you knew, and I did we all know that Western State Hospital was an utter mess? Was there anyone in Olympia who didn't know it was a mess?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, there were some people in Olympia who didn't know. The Senate Select Committee on Oversight didn't know because the governor had reports that he was keeping from the chairs of the committee.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that a guy who said this...
I don't make stuff up. I don't have phony math.
...was hiding stuff from the committee?
Well, there were reports that came out, for example, in June of 16 that showed that they had serious problems and that were at risk of losing federal funding. And the governor did not share that with the oversight committee and the legislature. And actually, during our debate in Spokane in August, when he talked about Western State Hospital, not only did not talk about that scathing report, but he didn't mention that a few months before he had withdrawn accreditation from the hospital and didn't tell anybody. And Western State had gone on and continued to recruit doctors and nurses to come work there as if it were an accredited agency when it wasn't. And you didn't share that with the oversight committee either. So were there people in Olympia who didn't necessarily know what was going on? Yeah. Those are some of the people who needed to know, but the governor wasn't very transparent, despite what little clip you just had there.
Probably the most transparent administration in our state's history, and I'm proud of that.
Well, I mean, in his defense.
We got the best weed in the United States.
So, I mean, we got
And we have the most precious environment in the history of the solar system.
Yes, of course we do. How bad is disappearance in the $53 million?
Well, it would be really bad. I mean,
it's gone.
Come on, it's $53 million. It's bad.
Yeah,
and what I really want to talk about is not, you know, I saw this coming.
But you did.
But what I want to talk about is where's the accountability? Whether it's Western State or our failed transportation system or any number of other things which are kind of going sideways, what does it take to hold the governor and the state government accountable? And right now, no one's holding him accountable. If you read press reports about this, you think that we lost our federal funding because some sprinklers weren't hooked up and they didn't do fire drills. No, it's because patients were actually committing violent acts against staff. It's because they had 25,000 master keys that they lost, that they had thousands of tools that could be used to pry open windows and doors that were lost, that exit doors had been kept open, that patients would be reclassified as safe rather than dangerous. They would have been dangerous, they escape, then they're reclassified as not dangerous so that they wouldn't have to notify the public that, oh yeah, somebody dangerous just escaped. That's what the problem was. And this didn't come out of the blue. This agency failed 4 federal audits. The first one was in January of 2015. It failed a federal audit for a lot of the reasons I just mentioned. A few months later, in March of 15, the federal government puts them on a 90-day suspension notice again that they failed the second federal audit. Now, think about that. You have your state mental hospital that fails a federal audit, and your governor, and you do nothing.
Well, in his
defense,
you
fail a second one.
Those meetings are pretty early.
And you do nothing.
Yeah.
And then in November or September of 15, he fails a third one. And in November, a fourth one. And what's he do, Todd? After four failed federal audits? Nothing. It's not until April of 16 when three violent, dangerous chemicals escaped. Do you remember that? And they were in Pierce County, Spokane.
Yeah.
That's when he wakes up and comes to life. That same month, the legislature steps in and passes on a bipartisan basis reforms that will help get this turned around, and he vetoes them. This is on him. He was given a way forward, and he vetoed it. He said, you know, nothing to see here. I got this under control. Okay, where's the accountability?
Well, it's a good question. It's a question for the voters. It's a question for who's going to run against Sideshow Bob, who's his protege, our part-time attorney general, full-time seeker of gubernatorial donations. I'd ask this, where's the accountability on him? That man is using his office as a fundraising device. He's using the office of the attorney general of Washington State as a fundraising device. He is in all likelihood guilty of Class C felonies in the way of campaign finance violations. And that paperwork's in, and our friend Glenn Morgan has standing to sue on behalf of Washington State, the attorney general. He allowed Sound Transit to break the law and looping it back over to Jay Inslee. It's not just Western State.
No, it's not just Western State.
How about the Department of Corrections? Let people out early. And everybody, then that was common knowledge that felons were being released early. They killed, someone died. I think, was it one or two people who were killed as a result of that, Bill Bryan?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And where's the accountability? I mean, every time one of these incidents happen, the governor and folks in Olympia just sort of skate by and no one holds them accountable. And people are getting disgusted and worse. They're losing confidence in their government. And when you live in a democracy, when the people start losing confidence in their government, that is a bad thing.
Because you end up low trust society. So can you run? Let's say it's not you. You ran a very decent and very, you know, honest campaign. You were tough on the governor and you questioned him when he would let you. He wouldn't allow you to question him in the debates. As I recall, he got angry that you looked at him, wouldn't come out of the back room because you wanted to address him during the debates. Can a Republican in this state run based upon, hey, how about competent government? How about hiring a manager, an executive? How about that? How about if for a little while we stop pretending that Washington State's going to solve the climate problem in the entire world? Let's stop pretending that Washington State's going to topple the Trump administration. Let's stop pretending that. Let's manage our own damn state.
Let's manage the money. Let's manage the budget. This budget is growing at a rate that we have not seen in decades. Revenue's coming in at a record rate, and yet they want more.
Hold on. There's a phone call. It's about accountability. Hold on. Jay, line one.
They put that debt on my grandchildren.
Okay. Well, I mean, so thanks for the call, Jay. I wanted to clear that up.
No, it would be good to have some, I think. Now, maybe people think that's a boring approach, but I think we just need somebody down there who will take a look at the budget, who can figure out how we can spend it well so we don't constantly go back to people and ask for more and more and more. It never stops. And by the way, let's hold our elected officials accountable so that if the money we're spending isn't being spent in a way that gets the results we want, we find people who will get the job
done. Well, think of it this way, Bill. I always ask people to look at this in the real world. Remove government. You are in charge of, let's say, a nonprofit, and you fail four federal inspections.
Yeah,
you sit down in front of your boss.
And you think the board's going to let you keep your job?
Exactly. You sit down as the executive director.
Especially after four failed audits, you have no plan on how to move forward. The board gives you a plan and you refuse to implement it. How about that?
It gives you a plan and $142 million to implement it.
You keep the money and veto the reforms.
So,
you think you'd keep your job?
All right. What do we do? What do we do to wake up the Western Washington moderate Democrat who are not yet socialist, to wake them up to the fact that their valued, beloved big government is rotten?
Well, I don't know, because this is happening right now, and yet, you know, most people are unaware of it. I mean, I'm glad that you're talking about
it. We're talking
about
it for 3 years.
Other people are, but for the most part, it's not getting coverage, and the coverage it is getting is sort of not dealing with the real fundamental issue, and that there's no leadership, there's no accountability, there's no plan. That message is not getting out to the people. I can't do it. It sounds like sour grapes if I go running around talking about this too much. But other people need to be saying, no, this isn't about whether somebody knew this was coming, whether it was predicted, which it was, or preventable, which it was. This is about now and holding our elected officials accountable for their performance. And until we do that, I don't think anything's going to change.
No, and it's the same thing that's true in Seattle, et cetera. But, you know, Bill, there are some signs.
Hey, don't get me started on the Seattle City Council.
Bill, there's some signs. There are people beginning to wake up. I'm talking about holes being punched in the great wall of leftist stupid. There are homeowners here waking up in good liberal Wallingford saying, what are we paying all these taxes for, et cetera. I want to extend the conversation with you real quick. Can you stick one more segment?
Yeah, no worries.
I want to talk politics in the States.
All right.
We'll come back with Bill Bryant and the Todd Herman Show. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. Hey, you got questions for Bill Bryant? Hit me up on Twitter at Todd E. Herman. Text 800-465-8770. Brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. He's been kind enough to stick around with us in the studio. Bill, I want to talk a little bit of politics in the state and starting from Seattle as a base. Do you observe even tiny signs of awakening in Seattle to how insane, and I mean, it's there are no real words to describe the Seattle City Council. Do you see people starting to
well,
wake up?
Well, dysfunctional comes to mind. And
right.
Grandstanding comes to mind.
Right.
They need to quit grandstanding and start governing.
But do you see the signs of people starting to wake up?
I think people are starting to wake up. You see that in the pushback on the head tax. The city council doesn't get it because they continue to say, well, this was just big business killing the head tax. This did not die because of big business. You had businesses like the Spadies and Dick's Drive-In and Wajimaya coming out against it. But even their push, I don't think, is what put this over the top. I went to buy groceries one day down at the store, and there were people out front of the store gathering signatures, and other people were standing there waiting for the people to sign so that they could sign. These people were not trying to encourage people to sign the petition. There were people standing around waiting their turn. This was grassroots. And that, to me, shows that people are beginning to push back.
Yep, yep. And there's some questions coming in for you on the text line, 800-465-8770. I want to get to in a second. And the other question I have for you, just politically in the state, I'm extremely frustrated, and I'm being polite, with the professional Republicans in our state. I look at Heroin Dan Satterberg, and I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed.
Well,
and
Dan has left the party, I think.
And that's my point.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill, 3 weeks ago, we would have been told, no, Dan's a good guy. No, Dan's not been a good guy for a long time, right? I mean, you heard the clips I played, you know, from Jay Inslee. I'm all over this one from Dan Satterberg.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
Yeah, he gave a TEDx recital, a speech, where he bragged about our low incarceration rate. This is a guy who's putting young gang members into diversionary tactics. That's fine. Let's keep the kids out of prison if they're first-timers. But hardcore gang types who, in that program, Bill, apparently, according to police reports, went and shot a guy 28 times.
Really?
So I look at Dan, and I look at him refusing to defend our right to vote on the government-funded heroin dens. He refused, as the King County attorney, to defend our right to vote. He is pro, in favor of the government-funded heroin dens.
Safe and, yeah, he is.
So here's
I've talked to him about it.
All right. And so my frustration with the professional Republicans here is this. That man's never faced a...
Now, what do you mean by professional Republicans?
People whose job is to be Republican.
Okay.
They're not activists.
Yeah.
Okay. You got a guy like you. You had a very successful career. You went under the port. You're a successful consultant. You're not a guy whose job is to be a Republican.
Right.
Your job is business. And I see you as an activist, right? And look, I'm a radio guy. I get to be hard-edged. That's what I get to do. And I just get to be myself. And you do, too. But it's different when you're political. My frustration is, how in the name of God do we not have a recall, or a write-in candidate to run against Heroin Dan? He's beatable. The King County prosecutor? You know what you have to do to win, Bill? Tell me if I'm wrong. All arrest gang members.
Well, now tell me about this. Who's running against him? He's got some opponent,
no,
right?
He waited. Yeah, a leftist to the left.
So he's got somebody to his left.
Well, which is really hard to get to his left. But how is it that the party doesn't look at this as a great big opportunity to put someone in people are going to like?
Well, the party generally doesn't do a whole lot of candidate recruitment, or at least as much as I would like them to. You know, I've started my own PAC,
right,
to help get people elected at the city and county level, and we're out trying to actually recruit good people
to run.
Can
you recruit someone to run as a write-in against Dan? I will do everything in my power. I will do everything, Bill. I will even work on a campaign again. Not that anyone wants me, but
I think if you're going to do a write-in, it's going to be organized by somebody like you, who's on the air, who can generate a lot of excitement among people. I don't think you're going to get it done at this late date by trying to get some organization to do it.
Well, look, do you understand my frustration that a guy like that is? I had suggested in the first hour, there's got to be a method to look at a guy like Satterberg and say, Dan, look, I'm sorry, you're your own guy. You go be your own guy. But there are some tenets of the Republican Party, and one of them is not backing legalized heroin.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And especially, you know, when we start dealing with homelessness, and I was up at on Aurora at Licton Springs.
It's an atrocity.
They call it the village, but it's just a cluster of shacks. They don't have running water. And you have people who are not there trying to put their lives back together to get permanent housing. This is the end game. I mean,
yep,
they're there. And you can use drugs and you can use alcohol. Even if you have somebody who's trying to put their life back together and get clean, how do you do it when you're in an environment where, you know, people are in a city-sanctioned area using a drug which is a federal felony?
Right.
I don't quite get that. I mean, yeah, you know, you can't have a straw in there and you better not have a soda, but you can have heroin?
Right. Absolutely. A couple questions for you. What's the name of your pack? Are they taking volunteers or hiring?
The pack is called, good, thanks you for reminding me. The pack is called Forge Washington, and the website is forgewa.org.
Okay.
And you can make donations, or if you're interested in running for a city or county spot, you can let us know that, and we'll check you out and talk to you and see if it's something we might want to get involved in.
Yeah, and Bill's the guy who knows how to get those things done, too. For Mr. Bryant, is it possible to run as a conservative and get votes in this state, or do you need to be a wishy-washy Republican?
Well, I don't know what everybody's idea of being conservative and wishy-washy are very different. I think that you're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody who's more conservative on a fiscal basis than I am. And when it comes to social issues, I'm pretty libertarian. I've gotten my own views, but I don't want government telling me how to live my life. Does that make me wishy-washy? I don't think so.
Yeah. Who's the best candidate to support to remove Lisa Herbold in 2019?
Well, there's a question we could get into, because when I set up the PAC, I didn't think we would focus on Seattle at all, because I didn't want to waste donors' money. We're going to spend it in Snohomish and Pierce and Yakima and Spokane and Clark and places where we can make a difference. But given the pushback that we're beginning to see, I would think that you might see some changes in the city council in 2019. You know, you've got opportunities possibly over in Ballard, Herbold in, yep, West Seattle.
Michael Bryant is hated.
Yeah, so there might be some opportunities that even a year ago I wouldn't have thought existed.
Yeah, and you know what? Don't put the R by the name. Run someone who's common sense.
In Seattle, it's all nonpartisan.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, you know, people can look and see, yeah, that Republican. Okay, also, last one, question for Bill. I know Bill had some problems with the president during the campaign. I'd just like him to talk about two or three things he thinks the president has done well.
Well, I think you've got some Supreme Court appointments,
yeah,
that have worked out very well, and Justice Gorsuch.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I think there's an attention to regulatory reform.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, you know, I talked about how I wanted to take a pressure hose to Olympia and go through every regulation, and that's being done, and you can see the economy responding to that.
Yeah, the tax cuts.
I have real concerns over the president's trade policy. You know, my company does international trade negotiations, and while he's spot on and has identified exactly the right target in China, I've got some concerns about how we're going about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of us, you know, looked at, like, this last week at the Supreme Court. Just imagine if it were Merrick Garland. We'd be living in a country where the government could tell you, no, you actually will go out and promote an abortion. That's exactly what you'll do, and the words will come out of your own mouth. Bill Bryant, always a pleasure to have you here.
I'll come back anytime.
Okay, and I wait for you to walk in the studio, say I'm running. Every time I get a dream.
I don't know, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you coming in. Todd Emmer Show continuing AM 770 KTTH and the Greater East Side 94.5 FM. Since we're talking campaigns, the Democrat socialist, so-called, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, how did she win? It's actually really something everybody should understand. She won by saying, I'm like you and I respect you. Well, I mean, she's a tyrannical socialist who hates Jewish people. She didn't talk openly about that. We'll explain that next on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Oh, like we don't do enough for the audience. Oh, just kidding. We're going to give away Mariners tickets right now. Be the seventh caller. 800-465-8770. Win tickets for the July 3rd Mariners game. They're hosting the Angels. That's cool. But the big story is the incredible fireworks show. You're invited to stay for us. The True to the Red, White, and Blue patriotic fireworks show. Find the great seat at Mariners.com. Be the seventh caller. 800-465-8770. Four tickets Mariners have given you. By the way, I've been in that, I've not been in the clubhouse, but I've been on the field when World War II vets have come down to receive their honor. This baseball team loves the vets. So I take their patriotism very seriously. And it shows in the fireworks stuff. You've heard about the new celebrity. The very pretty, photogenic, somewhat clever, although increasingly foot in the mouth. Then I mentioned she's very attractive. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez beat the machine politics guy Joe Crowley in New York's 10th. She's a child of Bernie. She's whatever the hell a Democratic socialist is. How's that work, by the way? What, you democratically vote to take other people's stuff? That's democratic socialism? You democratically decide we should all be equally miserable? Is that better when it's done democratically? That's always, like, I think of democratic socialism, and I think of, like, God forbid you're getting murdered, and you stop the murder for a second, and you say, hey, just a second, while you're killing me, is this a hate crime? And the murderer says, no, it's nothing personal. Whew, okay, good. Please continue. You know, while you're taking my stuff, wait a minute, let me stop you. You're taking my stuff, you're telling me I can't be a doctor, I got to go do another job. Are you a democratic socialist? Yeah. Oh, okay, well, that's good. Then I'm fine. So why did she win? She had an ad that some big timers in activism produced for her. Naomi Burton and Nick Hayes, they discovered her. Okay, what did they see? They saw her on Facebook. Well, what did they see on Facebook? Well, there's a reason I'm emphasizing her looks. Now, I don't know how smart she is. I know that she says some stupid things. I know that she just made a major faux pas on Twitter. She's not even elected yet. And she just said on Twitter, apologies to the quite literally 500 people who have called and texted me today, many of whom are very important. I've been in nonstop interviews since 6 a.m., haven't been able to look at my ... Many of whom are very important from the Twitter account of a democratic socialist. Many of whom are very important. Well, which ones are the most important? Oh, it's all just a pose. So here's what got her there, and this is what Republicans need to learn from. This ad is beautifully shot. It is her getting dressed, getting ready for work in a small apartment. I think it's in Brooklyn, getting dressed and getting herself ready for work. And it shows her family members. It shows them in their, I guess, not, it's middle class, maybe lower middle class in New York. It's showing them in their real setting.
Women like me aren't supposed to run for office. I wasn't born to a wealthy or powerful family. Mother from Puerto Rico, dad from the South Bronx. I was born in a place where your zip code determines your destiny. My name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I'm an educator, an organizer, a working class New Yorker. I've worked with expectant mothers, I've waited tables, and led classrooms.
Okay, so all the credentials, but more important to the credentials, what does she say to the people? She says, I am of you. Now, New York 10th is not anywhere else. It's the New York 10th. And she tells a story that puts them in the position of, are you going to come with the underdog? Now, never mind the fact that it is a lie that your zip code in any way in the United States of America determines your future. It's garbage. There are people who believe that and it becomes true. There are people who refuse to live by that and they make it false. That is a demonstrable fact in America. Your zip code determines nothing about you. It can make things harder. But in the shooting of the ad, they're shooting a young woman in New York on a day-to-day. Okay, teacher, organizer, well, that's a terrible sign for anybody who wants to go out and be a legislator. But they know, and the camera people know, and the Democrats know, and I hate to tell you this. This is a fact. We're past the stage of hiring legislators. Look at Pramila PayPal. Pramila PayPal doesn't have any uniqueness in terms of legislative view. She doesn't have any creativity in terms of problem solving. This has been proven. She is a pundit. That's all she is. She's a talker like me. Except she doesn't have my background in reading the documents that founded this country. She doesn't. So in this race, what Republicans can learn from is the ability to say, I'm like you, and Republicans are so bad at this, and yet we are more like them than they know. Them? Yeah. That guy and that lady and this lady. Random people. We have the ability to tell people about ourselves in the way that she does. But it takes the ability to come out of the political shell. It takes the willingness to come out of the pre-prepared package of and to get down to this human nature. Now, the fact is, she's a disaster. She's going to be a disaster in office as she gets there. She's already on TV lying. Lying about the ICE pretending they create black sites on the border. Like the CIA.
They're able to get away with black, with black sites at our border with the separation of children.
What do you mean black Pardon? Sites? What do you mean about black well, ICE kind of like black we were, sites?
So I was just, yes. So actually we were just hopping off MSNBC and they were talking about it.
So she's kind of trying to backpedal it. I was just hopping off of MSNBC. So she is a disaster, but it's past the point of mattering. Here's our decision to make as a party and as a movement. Is it enough to win elections and to put butts in seats? Because that lady will be a butt in a seat. She's not going to be anything special other than photogenics, other than Nike likability, other than relatability. But we're in a state, a cold civil war. It's an incredibly confusing time. So do we follow suit with that treatment? Is that who we recruit? Or are we still going to try to recruit thinkers and doers and problem solvers? Or is there a middle way? And I think there is. Strip back from the qualifications. Strip back from the intelligence. Get straight down in the mix with the left on the raw story. Find your commonality with Americans. Even if you're rich, you have one. Find the commonality, share the commonality, and be of the people. And then do this when you get to Congress. Don't turn into this lady, where she's already separating out VIPs from people who don't matter. Get there and maintain that stance.
Down on Main Street.
Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Love that you listen to the podcast. That's a great way to vote for digital media for conservatives. If you want the podcast, just text the keyword podcast to 800-465-8770 and you'll get a link to the podcast. Hello to new listeners across the country. I appreciate you. It's insane that you joined the show. It's not insane. It's wonderful that you joined the show. And to folks in Western Washington, we're in this all together. Thank you for making this possible. Without you, there's no me. Which is a phrase I stole from my friend Rick, by the way. But it's true. Without you, there's no me in this role, at least. On a personal note tonight, have you ever put someone in a position to personally destroy your limits? Have you ever empowered someone to do that to you? To personally destroy limitations you have subconsciously placed upon yourself. I did that when I was training for wrestling. And I've told you before about going to camps, etc., with major league wrestlers and the experience of being around the greats. Well, I agreed to let a guy who was 3 years my senior in Washington State when I grew up in Spokane. He was a college wrestler, and he had decided to drop out. He had a number of injuries. But, man, he was an incredible athlete. And he told me one day, your biggest limitation is you. Because he told me that he'd seen me wrestle in practice, and he'd seen me wrestle in matches where he knew I could win. But he saw me go into matches where he thought I had some doubt. And he said, you are a different guy when you don't think you can do something. And I want to help you get to a point where you can do things you don't think you can do. But it's not going to be a lot of fun, but I will help you break through some barriers. His name was Brian, and he was a very prototypical wrestler. He had the old-fashioned cauliflower ears. He wasn't that much older than me, but he had a massive, massive chin, that big manly chin, and he had this iron grip. Been wrestling since he was about 5 years old. He had relocated to Spokane. He lived in southern Arizona. His family was from Mexico. And Brian was, just to forgive my language, he was a badass's badass, and I was afraid of him. I was afraid of him. But he said he wanted to help me out because he thought I had some limits I could get past. And here was the deal. I got trained by him, and I turned around and took care of his car. I took care of some chores that he had in his home. He lived in a small, tiny little duplex that he paid for on his own. That was our deal. So for about 35 days, I guess it was more than this, about 2 months, I went and worked out with Brian. And he would do the craziest things to me. One of the things he did one day is he got me under a bench press, and he put about, I'm guessing, about 265 or something on it. If you don't lift weights, you know, you weigh 190, you're a high school kid, that's a reasonable amount of weight back then. Kids are so much stronger today. And he put it on, said, okay, let's just see if you can lift this, I'll spot you. And I lowered the weight down to my chest, and he took his hands off, and I couldn't quite lift it. And it sat there for a bit, and Brian acted like he couldn't hear me, and I got afraid. And I succeeded in pushing the weight off my chest, and he put down two fingers, and he lifted the weight up. And he looked down and goes, sorry, what? And it was something I didn't think I could do that I did. And it was because he put me in this position of, you have to, Todd, you have to. And I know now that he was not the least bit distracted. I know now that if I was in any physical danger, because the bench press can flat get you killed if you're using like a suicide grip, it can really hurt you. I know now that he was there to protect me, but I know as well that he wanted me to push past that limit. The other thing he did to me was we went on a run. And he was saying, look, you need to build up this cardio. You need to be just iron and cardio. You just need to be able to push through pain. He goes, the biggest thing about cardio is you just need to be able to go to a dark place and just push through. So he took me running up around Freeman, Washington, up around the farms, which is where his father had a place up in Freeman. And he ran me out around the fields, and we jogged and we sprinted and we went up hills and we went down hills and we went across streams. And then he said, hey, I got to take a bathroom break. I'll be right back. Daddy didn't come back. Brian was gone. Now, here's the deal. What Brian knew and what I knew is that I had to get back for work. I had to get back or I would be fired from the pizza place. I was far enough out that once I found my bearings, I got up on a hill and I could see the schoolhouse and I could look over and know, okay, his house is behind that schoolhouse. I realized, oh my gosh, I may not make this. I might get fired from my job. So I went on pretty much a dead sprint to get back. I was so, unbelievably upset at him. And in my mind, I was thinking, I'm gonna hit him. I don't care how big he is. I don't care how bad he is. I don't care how tough he is. I'm going to hit him when I get there. So I went running. I somehow made it there. And I went up and, man, I was furious because I saw Brian. He's sitting there on the porch. And he got there ahead of me. He's sitting there on the porch and he's drinking a soda pop. And I came up and I just slapped the soda pop out of his hand and go, I'm going to get fired from work. And he stood up to me and goes, you stepping up to me? Are you coming at me? And I sat there and Brian said, yeah, I'm coming at you. And he smiled and he laughed And he goes, you think you can beat me? I sat there for a second and I thought, well, I did. He goes, yeah, you did. Maybe you can. Maybe you can. That feeling. He goes, you don't always have to be angry, but you had this belief. So, by the way, I called your boss, told him what we were doing, that you're going to be a half hour late. He said you have to work a little hour over tonight. You're washing dishes. I'm the manager. Yeah, you're washing dishes tonight. The ability to see past limits, the ability to push yourself, it doesn't need to be athletic. You think you can't give a speech? Give more of them. You think you can't make a cold call in sales? Make warm calls. What's a warm call? Walk into a business owner you know, you do business with, and say, hey, can I give you a call about something a little later? Place that you shop, place where you frequent, if they're within your customer range. If they're not in your customer range, say, hey, can I call you in a business matter? Just call them and say, how do you treat salespeople who call you? The limits that you think you have, you think you have them. I mean, there's physical things. You might not be able to deadlift 1,000 pounds. But you're probably able to do things you think you can't. So when was the last time you decided to put someone else in charge of pushing you through a limit you've constructed for yourself? This is the Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. I'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Be well, be strong, and be kind.